You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hello, and welcome to Axe to Grind. This is a bit of a special episode. It's a sampler plate. It's basically just to whet your appetite if you're not a Patreon supporter to become one. And to that end, it's just 10-minute clips of some of what we get into on the Patreon. It's, we can't give you any more because that would be ripping off the people that have been kind enough to give. But again, this is just to you put your ear to the door with the glass and you listen in and you see if you like what's going on the other side, if it's a little provocative, sexy on the other side. Join us over here if you'd like. Those of you that have already given, we appreciate the shit out of you, really. It's been overwhelming, and I just did a tour of the U.S. where a lot of you came up and told me exactly why the podcast appeals to you, and thank you for all that. It's nice to be appreciated. Without further ado, here's some clips. Oh, there is some further ado. Go to BBBRecords.LimitedRun.com. Use the promo code AXETOGRIND. That's all letters, no numerals, and get 10% off. And he never rests, so there's always shit coming out. Get that 10% off. It's nice. It's it takes 10 seconds and savings. So here we go. Let's do this.
Give us a softball now.
Okay, I'm gonna say Slapshot.
Okay, give us your three.
Let's see.
Is this a soft? Is this an obvious or is this a left field?
This is the obvious.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I want him to softball.
Back on the map, step on it, and sudden death overtime.
Quick thing, because you get, of the three of us, as the, who the fuck is this dude? What's he
like,
saying?
Like his opinions are crazy. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But I pull back, and I have to explain to many of my friends so I don't have to do it again in text. Pat's Lane is, he does like a lot of old stuff. You talk to him about DC hardcore, some Midwest, New York hardcore, almost entirely, except for the Cro-Mags.
Yeah.
Which is wild. Yeah.
Right, but that's okay.
Hey, sure.
And secretly, a gigantic Slapshot fan.
Yes. I don't know if we've talked about this on this podcast. Self-Defense Family, which is an increasingly mellow band, has covered Slapshot, may do it again.
Really?
Yeah.
What song?
Firewalker.
Wow. Okay.
Slapshot taught, might makes right. Lyrics from Self-Defense.
Actually, that's a great point. I have referenced Slapshot twice in songs that I expected people to like. You know what I mean?
Like, that's a good song.
And a new song that's on the new LP is literally about choke. I love Slapshot. I find Slapshot to be one of the most interesting, long-running musical endeavors in human history.
Don't they have a song called 108?
They do.
Because they hate Krishna?
And that's a nice tie-in here. But so, give us your take on Slapshot.
You know what? I never really gave a shit, which is weird.
This might be too New York of you.
No, but I loved like SSD and stuff. But okay. I for whatever reason, like, it's cool. Like, I get it. Like, the hits are the hits.
Did
but
you ever see them when you were young? Like, did they weren't coming to New York, right?
Really. No, like, they were like an 80s band and then disappeared for quite a long time.
So Slapshot to me, I gave my first four CDs. They were probably in the first 10 or so. The CD with Step On It and Back on the Map. The record after it, Sudden Death Overtime, I will co-sign on this. I'll give Pat a definite. Okay. Because Sudden Death Overtime to me is, and it's something we found with a few of these other bands, Step On It, fucking classic. Back on the Map, fucking classic. Sudden Death Overtime, really solid.
Really
solid.
I'll go further. I'll say it's a classic, and Blast Furnace is solid enough to mention.
And some people, and some older Boston dudes will say the same thing, and that's a part that's been interesting to me. I think that those two Slapshot records are really fucking good. Lyrically, he's got a lot of stuff going on, and it's super traditional in sound, if you ask me. Like the early Boston stuff, the Exclaim stuff sort of starts off, but when I think of classic, like stylized traditionalist form Boston hardcore, it's Slapshot.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned his lyrics. This is the most complicated man in all of fucking hardcore music.
So he's a hairdresser.
As far as I know,
I think he is.
Yeah, he is.
Loves hockey.
Okay, presumably. I've never seen
hates
that
New York. But then does an apology.
Yeah, let's talk on the New York thing real quick, because this is some 9/11 shit.
Yeah, I don't really. I mean, it's funny because it's like when I picture the iconic photo of like say like Roger or fucking Anthony Killingtime, they're both wearing Slapshot shirts.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So well, like, there was always like that music. Weird like
right, and the youth crew dudes all rep for Slapshot.
Right, right. But like you can picture Roger wearing the fucking Slapshot shirt. Mm-hmm. Like that's his like
iconic.
Look. And I think like after 9/11, I don't know if it must have been before that, but after like he was kind of taking shots at some New York bands that you really shouldn't take shots at and was making like kind of shitty offhanded jokes about 9/11. Like yeah, as a New Yorker, like shit, that's not really fucking cool, man. Like I wouldn't be like, oh, they took down the Prue. Like, you know what I mean? Or whatever the fuck. It's, you know, like I think it's like someone who lived it. If you didn't live here, you really can't show how bad it was.
For the duet record with you, with Tom and Pat singing back and forth, trading vocals. Some
you like, are blind as a bat.
The song is sight. The song is gonna be Take Down the Prue.
So that's it.
So here's the deal.
Step on it.
Here's what I'm guessing. I'm guessing that Choke comes from. I know this part. He came from an era where it was all fun and games to get punched in the face and punch another man in the face.
Right.
Right. I mean, if you look at the like Al Brill. So Spring, like well, Brill really. Yeah.
So, just Al.
So yeah, not Spring. Yeah.
So these dudes are dudes that it was fun and games to be the goon, right? And I think I think by 2001. He maybe had lost pace with the fact that the goons carry guns,
and they caught up to him.
Yeah,
yeah. You can make fun of Ray Capo.
Yes, correct.
Yes,
correct.
You're not fucking. You're not going to get away with like saying something about Hoya.
No, and so so part of that too, and I think in the Straight Edge book that a friend of mine, Tony Rettman, just wrote.
Very cool.
Choke admits. He'll say he's like, dude.
He's a provocative.
He's a provocateur.
Provocateur.
He was like, yeah, so we were kind of goony, but we knew it and we all laughed about it and played into it. And he's like, so then when people are like, oh, I heard they beat people up with hockey sticks. Right. It was like,
hell yeah, B.
All right. Yeah, we did. And now I have one at a show. It's a prop.
Yes, correct.
You know? So and that ages poorly with the separation of time. When things get more serious and the goon thing is now... No, there's weapons and stuff like really.
Well, not even and making it more personal, like the whole like punks dead, you're next thing or whatever the fuck. Then they have like
that's old. That's
but like that's like all right, it's funny.
It was jabs, but then it's like jab at 9/11. It's like
oh, your family died in that. Ha ha. Like that's not funny.
No,
I don't give a fuck what you think.
Right,
it is.
I agree. I think it's just read in the moment and kind of culture change and you know the things that jokes that could be made. If someone made a 9/11 joke, like.
I mean, people make them. They're memes.
Yeah.
Look. I was across the river. I was watching some fucking terrible things.
Yeah.
I think everybody in this room was probably within fucking eyeline views of the World Trade.
I walked down to the water and watched the whole fucking thing.
Damn, it took a dark turn.
It is now a meme. That's the way that the March of Time works, right? And I'm also going to say something a little wild here. I think I could make a 9/11 joke and it not be received in the way that Choke making a 9/11 joke and not,
absolutely
and not
time and place too.
Not because of Boston
time and place and who he is
because of the energy that he gives off.
Yes.
So here's a weird thing, and this is what makes Slapshot so dynamic to me, is that as you said, Choke is a provocateur. He is weirdly I don't know his background. I didn't grow up with him. I love a certain sort of dude, which is somebody who would have been a bon vivant artist type in any reality except for their working class confines. And that is exactly the vibe that he gives off, which is somebody that would have been a, like I said, just a fun, goofy, fucking provocateur, poking everybody with a stick, doing art shit, whatever. But instead, it was either work on the docks or work in Slapshot. And he chose Slapshot. And I find this sort of man super interesting. And as a result, even the records that really genuinely suck are still interesting for what they are. And they have a song from 2002 was put out on an EP, I want to say, by Bridge Nine, called I Believe. That
sounds
is
right.
It is a one-part song that goes on for what? It's only 4 minutes, but it feels like 25 because
one part for 4 minutes.
I have never heard this song.
It turns into fucking Holy Mountain, or whatever the fuck, sleep song.
I truly,
Jerusalem.
In the same way that we loved Rob Fish having a mental breakdown, this just sounds like a guy who is so fucking spent and so fucking washed and just so over life. Have you ever read the interview with him where he explains that he doesn't go out because then he would have to bump into people, like not bump into people like I saw a friend, but like physically bump into people because he just finds everybody so irritating. Some people like when I make comic book references on this shit. I'm going to make a real quick one. There was a classic run, Peter David.
Yep, this is the greatest thing. We're posting this. this is the most amazing. This is like a great commentary on the world.
Okay. Peter David's run on X Factor. It was X Factor maybe 71, 72.
I might have this saved on my phone.
The Kusada illustrated episode or issue, which is the team going to visit a psychiatrist who is Doc Samson. It's basically a therapist talking to Quicksilver, who is a person who moves really fast, right?
And he moves really fast in every single way. So his brain moves fast. Everything's right. Fast.
And he is explaining the daily world, his life, the outside world to him. And how if you are irritated by a person being slow at the ATM in front of you, imagine your brain working 70 times faster and the level of irritation that you feel at literally every moment. Living being.
Interesting.
Yeah. And this character is a notoriously, like he's a prick all the time. And this is the first time any writer was able to capture and explain, this is why this guy's a prick. And that wasn't something that had been established before.
Correct.
This dude did this and kind of back like wrote it. And you, back wrote history that all of a sudden you're like, holy shit, yes.
What do they call that? Retcon?
Retcon,
in your land?
And yeah,
in your
it's, world? You know, and it, to circle this all the way back to Massachusetts and Slapshot, yo, I remember younger days being going with bands and touring up to Boston, and we'd get to the toll booths.
Up to Boston?
Toll booths at the Mass Pike. And we would freak out because people would be sitting there. It's like they're having conversations with the toll booth person. I'm like, motherfucker, get out of the way. Pay your money and go. But it's like they're talking. You're seeing hand gestures. And imagining that for every single day was this.
And they're talking about Slapshot when they do that.
Yeah. My makes right.
Here's the deal. I honestly, the impression that I get, or my headcanon, if you will, if we're going to talk about making your own mythos in this shit, is that Choke's frustration is that his mores, the way that he naturally operates and sees the world, is just slightly out of sync with the actual world, right? Which is a thing that we all feel sometimes.
Sure.
But imagine if you felt it all the time.
Every second of every day.
Right, no matter what you do.
Right. And the example I use is Gigi Allen, because like, why can't I suck my brother's dick? You know what I mean? Why is this rule exist?
Our friend who does the drops for us and sends them, why can't I suck my brother's dick? Why can't I suck
my brother's dick? Yeah, that's a good pull.
Axe to grind.
At any rate, I think that is what makes for the best punk and hardcore music, is that feeling of wearing your underwear backwards. You are uncomfortable. There's something out of sync. And if you can be out of sync your whole life, which is Choke. It doesn't mean that every record you put out is good. In fact, no. But it makes you interesting to me, literally. How many years? This is a 30-year career.
Absolutely. So the streak is Step On It, Back on the Map, Sudden Death Overtime. I co-sign it. Tom, you're
fine.
Care.
I mean, like, it's yeah, not, like, you're not I don't against dislike it, but yeah. them, but it's that's never been part of my...
And Pat, where would you tell the new listener to start?
If you have a leaning towards if you know yourself and you have a leaning towards the fast, you know what? I would just say step on it to be safe.
Step on it.
Just go step on it to be safe.
Oh, this one from your buddy Ivan.
Ivan, what's going on, my man?
Britpop and Revolution Summer influence are two of the worst things to happen to hardcore.
He is so hardcore. Like, I can't. It's not a hot take. This is so up his alley. He hates all of that shit.
I don't know what to say to somebody.
We just talked about Scarhead ripping.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and the Cranberries and how much he loves the Sundays. And
I think it's lukewarm.
Yvonne's into Scarhead.
Yeah,
for God's sake.
Yeah, come on now. Come on now.
Come on, Murillo. Core Lord.
Ooh, Earth Crisis' only redeeming quality is their lyrics. You guys going to stand for that?
No, it's an asinine take. It's a butthole take.
I mean, their lyrics are...
A major point of interest. However, you can be a total fucking blunt master fucking...
And listen to Firestorm.
And get psyched, yeah.
Firestorm changed the game.
Agreed.
Legitimately, any band after that in heavy music owes them a...
Not any. Do you think Floor Punch owes them anything?
They're not heavy.
Oh, right. True.
I'm not trying to be a dick.
Heavy.
Like,
okay.
Whether it be fucking Disembodied, whether it be fucking any of us, Indecision, whether it be fucking God's Hate.
Yeah.
Everyone is like, that changed how people wrote music.
I mean, also, I think that for to be a heavy band and be that rudimentary doing that, I think is like pretty bold.
Yeah, I mean, there's no fretwork on that. It's literally just, I can do that. I have zero talent and I can play that.
That's the thing, is that that's why it's a fun thing to soundcheck with. You can give me, I can soundcheck.
Like, I got you, bro.
Yeah.
Jun.
Yeah.
Jun. It's awesome.
Okay, let's see here.
And I feel like it was one of the early, like, you know how kids, like, nowadays when there's like a mosh part, you hear people like, whoop!
Yep.
I feel like back in the day when Firestorm started, it'd be there would be like kind of like an eruption from the crowd, like, Here we are. Yep. This is happening now.
Most hardcore before Integrity was bad.
That's very, very...
That Dusty Cloud?
It's an incredibly hot take.
Not
Dusty.
Kind of wrong.
It's hella wrong.
It's a hot take.
But when does Integrity start, though, for them? Are they talking...
Talking fucking 1995.
Talking like 88 Integrity. They've been around that long, 89 or whatever.
I think this person's talking like in contrast to Sin.
Like 91.
Yeah, like early Integrity, but it's saying anything before that was kind of bad.
Age of Quarrel exists before that. It's Blood, Sweat, and No Tears.
Minor Threat.
Minor Threat. Bad Brains.
It's just
1,200 records worthwhile.
Right, stop it.
So this is the part where we take a deep breath, because as we were getting these in, I was getting mad. I was getting upset. I was hearing from people who are also getting mad, getting upset. I was like, it's okay. It's okay. People have bad opinions. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay.
Integrity related question. What is the album that you think people not 30 plus go to?
Probably Humanity is the Devil.
When I was a kid, Humanity was the record.
Go-to. Yeah,
I think it still might be.
I think it still was, because Those of Fear Tomorrow didn't come out on Victory.
Right.
So it wasn't easy to get. There was a weird vinyl reissue on Toy Box for Those Who Fear Tomorrow. There were some lost and found versions.
I have one of those.
The original version, which I can't remember the name of the label who put it out right now, was super out of print, and it was CD only. And
I have
a
picture disc of it.
Yeah.
It's like Hooked Lung.
Yeah, and that's where you could get some of the songs. And
yeah, it was very strange. Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think Humanity is still the go-to. I think Systems gets a lot more love, especially since the recent reissue. They recently remixed
and they cleaned it up and everything. Yeah.
If you haven't heard it, you should check it out.
Yeah, you might like it better.
That was one of the ones that was written off when I was
in. It's better. It's better now. But I also think that To Die For gets a lot of love.
It does.
That's what I was thinking. I think for a certain kid, that's it.
Right, because the other stuff wasn't really.
Hold It Down is my favorite Madball album.
It's okay.
Not a hot take.
Not a hot take.
I mean, I set it off as mine, but I mean, I get it.
Right. I'll take Set Your Goals by Civ over anything Gorilla Biscuits did. Which, quick pause. Gorilla Biscuits did a 7-inch in an LP, so it's not
take one LP over another.
Not prolific,
LP.
You know?
Yeah.
But I know, but one is looked at as iconic and the other one is looked at as an oddity.
I will say this. I bet Set Your Goals sold more copies than Start Today.
Today's not getting played at the Rangers game. Gorilla Biscuits didn't open up for Kiss at the Garden.
I also love three songs on that Civ record a lot.
Yeah. Oh, dude, it's I love 90% of that record.
A lot.
I think that's a
certified good record.
Yeah,
I use the Lou guest thing as a reference point to audio engineers a lot.
Mm. Really?
Yes.
Do you use the video part too when it's fakely in St.
Quentin? Yes, I do.
Yeah. I think that record's actually really, really good.
It was a really good record.
But it was so big at the time, and it was like, oh, fucking Warped Tour and all this bullshit. But in a fucking vacuum, it's not that far behind Start Today.
This isn't my Civ beef take, but Civ at Warped Tour 97? Civ is playing, I believe it was 97, maybe 96, I don't know. But he was walking towards the backstage area with a milk crate full of, you know, milk gallon jugs of lemonade. Hmm. So me and my friends stopped him, we're talking to him, and we snatched one of the lemonades out of his thing, Shore style.
Hey, that's stole,
and we were stealing those all day at Warped Tour, and we never paid ever. Don't ever pay for that shit.
For lemonade for, or for Warped Tour?
Both.
Like, yo, if you see a kid on the street selling lemonade, you snatch that shit. That.
You can pay, like, we'll support independent business owners, but Warped Tour or Walmart, they're like the same thing. Who cares?
I'm going to say breaking into shows is really, really fun and fulfilling.
Bigger shows where you're not making any.
Yo, you won't get these human takes on the real episodes. Patreon, but we'll talk about sneaking in.
It's funny, though. With Civ, though, now, number one, the thing that kind of bugs me, if we're, you know,
yeah, let's
we're
speaking. Air. You know, let's we're pants friends. Loose.
I don't like that Gorilla Biscuit Civ is different from Civ Civ.
Is it?
Like, Civ Civ, like, puts on, like a sweater vest and wears creepers. Stuff.
Oh, the
in 2016.
Oh, is that true?
Yes, number one.
Oh,
number yeah. two, it's funny that, like, in a grand scheme of things, Civ is probably bigger, the band.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sold more records, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Metrics wise.
Dudes are opening for, like, they couldn't fucking draw 400 kids now.
Sure.
In New York.
Yeah.
The mythos of Gorilla Biscuits is so
it's
much
really
larger,
Trump.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like,
yeah. I can come up with a better word for Trump.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's
I say supersedes.
Supersedes. Yeah.
It's,
yeah.
yeah.
All right, let's get to these hot
eclipses. Eclipses.
Ooh, creative eclipses. Yeah. Rest in peace.
Humanity's Devil is the only good Integrity record.
That is incorrect.
Incorrect hot take.
Yeah. So, well, I don't think it would have been ultra hot in the past, but I think that there's been a retrospective look, and I think that, you know, but I think that there was a period where people were like, this is the record I care about. That's why I brought
it
up. I
mean, it is to me, yeah. too. But
there's other. So yeah. I had a talk with a friend who was like, oh, it was like, who's my age, got into hardcore roughly the same time. Who's like, oh, it's like my shameful secret. I didn't hear Integrity till To Die For. And, you know, so, he was a little older. And I was like, yeah. no shame. I'm keeping him anonymous here anyways.
How long ago was that?
2003.
So fucking, yeah. Oh, so 15 years ago, but New Jack.
But he, you know, we got into hardcore around. In like 96, 97. And
yeah,
he, you know,
that's fine.
So. But I was like, oh, I think I was the only person in my town who got into Integrity because I found a copy of For Those Who Fear Tomorrow, yeah. the Toy Box Weird reissue, and then maybe somebody else. But they were too metal for us, and they were kind of regarded as that. Mm-hmm. And then because that record, oh, this is cool as shit, this is what I wanted, I dug into other stuff, and so did other people. So, it's still a record.
A lot of
not
Integrity
a hot take.
Questions on here.
Yeah.
Well, the hot takes.
Agnostic Front aren't that good.
That's inherently
wrong.
That's
pretty hot.
Super hot and super fucking
and
wrong.
Are you kidding me?
It's hot.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bruce.
And I'm Nolan, and this is the Corner of Gray Street podcast. As longtime Dave Matthews Band fans, we set out to create a podcast to dive deep into the past, present, and future of DMB.
Not only do we recap and review shows within an ongoing tour, but we revisit past shows from throughout the band's history, conduct interviews with a wide variety of guests with ties to DMB, and create unique and exclusive content like our Concerts on the Corner series.
Whether you're a fan of the band or just a fan of great music, we think you'll find something you'll enjoy. We can't wait to see you on the Corner of Gray Street.
What's up, everybody? I am Finn McKenty, host of the Punk Rock NBA podcast, part of the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. My podcast is all about doing what you love for a living. And every week, I sit down and talk to people who have done exactly that. For example, musicians like Tommy from Between the Buried and Me, Matt from Periphery, Lil Lotus and Shinigami, among many others. Photographers, artists, designers, YouTubers like Glenn Fricker and Sarah Dici. And I unpack exactly how they got to where they are today with the goal of helping you do the same. So if that sounds cool, you can listen and subscribe at soundtalentmedia.com, and I'll see you there.
Knuckle dust are weirdly unappreciated outside Europe. When time won't heal this is one of the best hardcore records of that era. Homie, I haven't even heard of that record.
Those are my people.
I got love for it.
Knuckle dust.
Are they weirdly unappreciated?
Outside Europe, probably. Sure?
I would say they are.
I mean, they're a heavy band.
Maybe I proved their point. I haven't even heard it.
So here's what they are. Would you say it's fair to call them like the Wisdom in Chains of London?
Yes.
That's okay.
Of like
that's
the UK
right.
scene. And like,
sense.
Now mind you, they've been around. We toured with them in the UK in 1997.
Right.
And they are still going, never broke up, release records every couple of years, are still like a linchpin of European hardcore.
Right. So what they do is they play a couple giant fucking London shows and then do the festival circuit is what I think is the thing.
Their deal,
right?
Yeah.
And but they'll do like, oh, we're playing some like whacked out crazy small place in London.
Yeah.
Just because they can.
Yeah.
But I think like, yeah, I mean, those dudes are like, it's been the same four guys since 1997.
Yeah. See, I
like, and they're like, they're really like the fucking foundation of hard, like not the band, like the, like
of London stuff
of you, the, of UK hardcore. Wow. Like legitimately, and like,
but what's
are they
it?
Sick of it all of London?
No, I think it's more isolated than that because
they never had that big kind of moment.
And Here's an interesting thing: I think the young kids that I know in London see Knuckle Dust as that's the place you go. Like those are the shows that you go to if you want to get your head broken open. That's not our hardcore. Yeah, that's not our hardcore.
Yeah, I mean it's hard. It's tough. And kids go off for them. Okay. I got to see them in London like 4 years ago, and it was crazy. And one life crew played after them and played in front of about seven people.
Oof. Fuck. Abolition equals one of the best hardcore bands of the last 10 years. Abolition.
Is this person in Abolition?
I don't know. Right. You guys familiar with the band at all? I'm not.
No.
Okay. All right. Maybe we need to research it. But
yeah, someone send us something.
Yeah, send us something. This one, not really about hardcore, but Judas Priest is a better and more important band in metal than Black Sabbath.
Yeah, you know what?
No, that's crazy.
I mean, Judas Priest wouldn't exist without Iron Maiden.
I know,
and without Black Sabbath.
Listen,
and more important.
Not better to me.
Are they more important?
I think someone could posit that and back it up.
You want to be that someone?
Nah.
All right.
I mean, there are literally, nobody is like, everyone goes, hey, you know, all the metal, like famous metal people are like, I love Judas Priest. No one sounds like Judas Priest.
Right.
Black Sabbath has created an entire generation and genre of music.
I get that, but like, I guess what I'm saying is that if important is foundational or bedrock, then sure, Black Sabbath. But if we do that, then we have to be like, Muddy Waters is really important to us. Do you know what I'm saying? And it's not.
But if you like mosh parts, Black Sabbath started mosh parts.
Okay. You know, I can go with that.
Have you heard System
of I can go with that.
Who's the singer of Judas Priest?
Ozzy Osbourne.
No. Rob Halford.
Rob Halford. When Rob Halford passes, I'll take a second go. When Ozzy dies, and I'm like, man, I really should have gone and seen Black Sabbath in the 90s. True. But anyways, I didn't even throw this one. Like, Brett, you're a homie. We appreciate you. Converge blows, and anything that sounds like them blows.
Is this Brett from
Buffalo? No, not Brett from Buffalo.
Brett from Buffalo.
From War by.
Oh, War by any means.
That's just a matter of taste. It's fine.
I mean, if you're in a band like that, you probably hate Converge.
I'm not a Converge head, but I just, it felt really severe. Converge blows, and anything that sounds like them blows.
I mean, you know, look, if you don't like Converge, then I think that you should not like things that sound like Converge because they're not going to be as good.
Yeah. Right. If you can't dig a Converge, then everything else after that sucks.
There you go.
Sure.
Let's see.
You just got kicked off the Converge Buffalo tour date there, buddy.
I'm from Virginia, and down to nothing and Naysayer do absolutely nothing from me.
You know, Naysayer does nothing from me.
I think it's cool, but I mean, like, you're from Virginia. I can't say.
I think it's a hot take if you're from Virginia.
Probably.
At least down to nothing.
I feel like down to nothing is like the... everybody. Like, they're the mad ball for Virginia.
But yeah. There was a scene of people who just weren't in it. Just not into it.
Not into it at all.
So, like, yeah.
And if that's you, then I get it, I guess.
Yeah, all right. It's not very hot. No. Oh, wow. There are less than 5 hardcore records made in the 90s that I like and less than 10 that are good.
Okay, well, I can't tell you what you like, but...
You're definitely 52 years old.
No, I think this might be someone who's young.
What do you think they like? Do you think they like 80s hardcore or do you think they like 2000 plus?
2000 plus.
Yeah, okay.
What's the name? Maybe I know the person.
I know. All
right. Oh, we should have done people's Twitters.
Yeah, she's...
So you can have Adam.
Too much.
Next time we'll name and shame.
Yeah.
That person's wrong, but to be honest, I do get it. Like, a lot of 90s material... If you think of 90s hardcore as, like, the... stuff in the family tree of Earth Crisis, like things that came out of, and that's not your sound. Then yeah, you've got
a good cross section of shit.
There is, but when people say 90s hardcore,
they think of that,
right? They don't mean. Yeah. What do you love from the 90s, Bob?
A lot.
Right. But when you hear 90s hardcore as the phrase.
90s hardcore, I think New Age and Earth and Victory.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So like if those aren't your sounds and
then you hate it. Yeah.
And someone
there's a little something for everyone, man. If you only like punk stuff, there's a ton of great punk shit from the 90s. If you like melodic stuff, there's stuff. You like straight edge stuff, there's stuff. There's like metalist stuff, there's a fuckload. You like slow stuff, there's stuff.
Yeah.
You like fast hardcore, there's a lot of spaz records. All right, next topic.
Get this split with 25 to life.
Yeah. Turning on Terror is like ordering chicken fingers at a restaurant.
Listen to, or turning on them like,
I don't know.
I don't like them anymore.
I don't know. I just like
to. Or getting them aroused.
I'm just really hungry, and chicken fingers was like, all right.
Like an over-the-pants hand job? Like what's...
I think that person...
Is that what's called turning on?
Are you turning on terror?
I think that person means that it is a...
It's really easy. Let me order these chicken fingers while I'm giving you a rub.
Staple or comfort food sort of thing?
Yeah, maybe.
Oh,
yeah. Turning on Terror is like ordering... chicken fingers at a restaurant. Like
you know it's good.
And it's pretty good. Okay.
Reliable. Yeah.
All right. Then that's not a hot take. That's just like... All right. So I moved out of California in 2008. And you guys were all young dudes.
Yeah.
But tell me about... Tell me about there was a time when stuff started to pop off, when Fury starts. Soul Surge is kind of a little ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
And then Fury starts, Forced Order kind of starts taking off. Tell me about that time period where it seemed like things got lively.
That was like one of the coolest times, I think, like as far as it went for California stuff, just because it was like a big group of us kind of starting bands and like doing a bunch of shows, playing together. It was like, it felt like every weekend or like every week was like, you know, just a cool hangout, but it was like a really sick show that like kids actually enjoyed, and like, you know, it was sick, it was fun. I think that was like one of the better times of me being in, you know, hardcore music, you know, and just friends doing cool hardcore, you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of how I think it should be. So that's what I liked about it.
Yeah, I think like before we started this, we were like kind of talking about that weird period in between Sound and Furies, and I think not having a festival like that helped all of us. I think that like made us all kind of work for ourselves and kind of work hard instead of depending on this huge fest that'll, you know, be like a circus every year. So I think that, and along with like bands like New Brigade and Soul Surge, like these were huge bands for me.
Don't forget Creatures.
And Creatures was number one.
Yeah, like, Creatures was the originators.
Yeah, like when I was in middle school and like my freshman year of high school, I would leave my Frost Off soccer games and like go to the alley in Fullerton and see Maddie.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, and see Maddie play in his like metalcore bands and hardcore bands and like finish him and what led to all these bands.
What's the ice?
On Thin Ice.
Just Thin Ice, I think.
Thin Ice,
Kid Records, I believe.
Yeah. I got the record release 7-inch.
The one in the mail?
Respect.
Well, I got the pre-ordered one.
Yeah, I think that's the pre-order.
Yeah, the clear.
This is for the real dorks. We're getting
This is real. Like, if you have to be from California to understand what's going on right now. Which
for like a specific time period.
Sorry, Alex. These are bands that everyone should check out. Though, like, these are not. No, like
these
Creatures,
like
Creatures is good.
Band camp bands, like these were the
like
real
hustlers,
deal.
Yeah.
Who just rock. Like they, we, there's no way we'd be who we are today if it wasn't for that that foundation that they built for us, I guess.
And after Sound and Fury, everyone will understand the legend that is Creatures.
Do you think?
Yes.
I think it's going to be wild?
Yeah.
I think so.
I think, I actually listened to the podcast when you guys were talking about it, and you guys nailed it perfectly by saying 50 people will be stoked. Those 50 people are going to be high. I am one of 50, so that'd be cool.
So I was aware of Creatures. I never saw them. I don't know that they toured out this way
very
much.
They did a lot of tours, actually.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, maybe I just...
So
know, whatever.
You're a poser, dude.
Yeah. whatever.
You were young.
Shut up.
Yeah. Were they even a band that, like, really popped off in California?
In California, yeah.
Yeah.
For a while, I mean, not... Towards the end, it was kind of, like, dying a little bit, but... When they were going, it was crazy.
I Lucifer came out on like when it was like Eulogy or whatever.
I think that's the
height of like when it was just like Creatures was like kind of like almost a household name.
Yeah,
like, you know,
those later,
in my opinion,
those later Sound and Fury.
Yeah, the first incarnation.
We actually, Todd was going to put that record out.
I think I heard something about that.
And then me and him did it together.
Okay,
and we're credited as producers on the first.
Because
we should. I mean,
points.
It's not available in digital or anything. So you know,
but I think that's interesting though. Like the void of the big festival not being around.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, fire in the U.S.
It made you kind of appreciate like just the smaller shows and stuff like that. And sometimes I feel like you know younger kids like. Would rather go to like you know a 3-day, 4-day fest,
right, catch every band,
than catch every band, which is cool. I mean, I guess it's convenient, but like for me, it was always cooler to just go to like
go
you know
to
every Friday.
Yeah.
You know, there's like a hardcore show, and like you're gonna see all your friends,
right.
And like you know, it's I felt like that was always like the cooler vibe to me,
right?
Know?
Yeah.
So
no, I totally agree with that.
Like that's there weren't a ton of fests in the early 90s.
No,
when you were getting in stuff. So I mean, like. It's so different to think about. Like, imagine being an 18-year-old and you have the option. I got asked this question the other day. Like, because it was talking to a dude who's older who was like, yeah, I used to make no money, but I would be spending $100 a week on records. Like, going to the record store, buying new records, spend all the money I had. But he's like, I don't understand how kids now have money to go fly to these festivals and get an Airbnb.
Merch. Take it for the fest.
But I mean, I guess if you're not spending money, if you just do that three times a year.
You go buy the records and you just like
you're not buying
Bandcamp or Spotify.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, they're basically just like full-on adults that plan their vacations, their one vacation a year, and that's their thing.
Is that?
That's cool too, I guess.
Yeah, it's fine. Like I said, there's no hate on it in my opinion. Like, do whatever you want to do.
Right. Yeah,
you know, everyone's grown up.
We're certainly reaping the benefits of festivals.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
festivals are awesome. Like, you know, once again, can't hate on them, but.
Yeah.
They're awesome, but then they're not all the time. Like, as somebody who did a festival, I'll say that they're not always the best.
I'm sure it's
like,
real stressful for the...
Well, no, they're not
that.
Well,
even as, like, an
attendee.
Okay.
No, attendee. I'm talking about for, like, a world of music. It's like, when we were doing Sound and Fury and it was the healthiest, we also tried to do stuff in between. You know, we did, like, oh, here's this Cold World weekend. Here's this Half Heart weekend. Let's do this stuff.
I went to all those.
They were fun,
they're
right?
Great. They're
right.
Super great.
Like, they were awesome. And that kept things moving and keep things lively.
Yeah.
But then if you just – and I mean, like, yo, credit to what's going on. Like, there's a ton of shows in Philadelphia all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's not like there's just this is hardcore.
No, no, no.
You know, but I do wonder about if kids get spoiled with that and think, like, I just don't need to go.
I don't
what
need
do
to catch
think?
This band. They're going to be at, you know.
Like, what do you all think about that? Go ahead.
Huh. You go first. I think it – obviously, it's great. Like, it's better than nothing. Like, there are places that have absolutely nothing.
Yes.
But I think I would rather live in a world where bands are touring and really going out there because that's the real deal. Like, festivals are great, and I've had the greatest experiences at festivals. Like, whether it be like hardcore, or like even something as lame as like Coachella or something. However, I don't think that's healthy. In the long run for scenes if that becomes a bigger and bigger conglomerate. Like, even with Sound and Fury, like, I think they're doing it right.
Sure.
And I also think everyone around Sound and Fury all year round are doing a lot of good shows. Like Natty has a, he does suburban fight shows, and that's kind of what he's under his promotion.
Natty in Fury.
Yeah, Natty. The
oh, that's him.
Guitarist. Yeah.
So he, does he do like the wrestling thing that?
Yes.
Like,
with, like,
yes.
Yeah. With
yeah.
Everybody? I wanted to bring it up at some point.
Oh, no shit. That is so fucking cool.
That's the best thing any of our friends has ever done.
So Natty has been like kind of started that.
That's his.
Yeah, yeah.
That's him. Yeah. That's I all have him. No idea.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of wrestling at all, but that
right.
was like so fun.
Right, it's like in a bar on the floor.
Yeah, it's
have
like,
you guys played one of those yet or no?
No.
So it's only
like,
been,
it's
hardcore,
there's been two.
There's only been two.
Okay.
But only one of them had a hardcore band playing, right?
The
oh,
like
really?
Second one, Misery and Dead Heat, I think,
yeah,
played the first one.
I think one band played the second one.
Did they?
I don't remember.
I think we were gone. I think we were gone that one.
Right.
But
it's such a cool idea.
It's straight up a blast. Like it was so fun to watch.
Yeah, if anyone... I know I got the inside scoop. I don't know when this is coming out, but I believe there's actually going to be a Suburban Fight Wrestling Sound and Fury weekend that they haven't announced yet.
No, shit.
I think on the Sunday. I don't think he'll be mad at it. I don't think he'll be mad at
right.
Sunday. I don't know who's going to do it, but...
Where is that? Like Hi-Hat or something?
No,
or
it's at this place called The Resident. Maddie kind of works there, too.
Okay.
It's just like a little dive bar.
Okay.
In like somewhere in L.A., and it is... Was the one of the funnest nights I've had in a long time. Like
so
it's in it's there's no ring. It's in you're in the
like,
bar, so
right.
everyone can.
It's a bar fight, pretty much.
Yeah, it's a bar fight. It's straight up a bar
with
fight
with Nate, who's bigger than everyone ever other
oh,
human in the fight.
It's insane. And he's also like the most like he can do flips.
Yeah, he's incredible.
Insane.
Yeah,
agile.
Yeah, very agile. But you have to when you're there, like you're a part of the show, so you have to get out of the way if they're coming towards you.
Right,
you
right.
have to pay. It's
so much
fun.
That's such a cool idea. I didn't realize that was him. That's
yeah.
awesome. And then you guys have shows in Fullerton all the time at the program, right? Like the skate shop?
Yeah, I live two blocks from program.
Okay.
That's not just hardcore shows. Like, there's shows every
night. It's like every night, right?
Every night. Like a hip-hop show, a DJ, anything. Every night there's a gig there.
And they just clear out the place and just...
Yeah, clear out all
yeah.
the all the cell racks
yeah.
and just, like, have
it's
bands come through and
band.
Play.
And that's Ephraim, right?
Ephraim,
yeah.
and Chris. He's the one that's, like, at the store mainly.
Got it.
That's
awesome. Dude from Death Shout out to
there.
Program.
Yeah. And there's this... this dude's, I don't know who, there's one other guy that does it with him, a skate.
Okay.
I'm blanking right now, I've had too much today. Alex would know though. Sam, I would know, Casey.
So, real quick on this, what happened to Chain Reaction?
It's
still
around.
Yeah.
Do they still do shows?
Not really hardcore shows,
yeah.
Maybe more like metalcore shows, but I haven't been to Chain Reaction in years, probably.
It's really weird seeing like how Chain Reaction went from like... The venue
that was the spot
in Southern California. If you're talking
venue.
About shows, you know
absolutely.
What I mean? Like all the half hard blacklisted, like
first
ceremony,
step.
First step, lights out shows that I saw there, like you know, Bitter End, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, Chain's kind of like it's just not the same as it was. I don't know, how, like why?
It's like different owners or something?
Yeah.
The
original dude, I think his son took over, I believe. And I think that was. What happened?
Well,
there's a lot
mean,
more pay to play shows.
It's
okay.
just kind of like it's not as cool as it was.
And I mean, here's the deal: like, there's some fondness you can think about it with
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
But like, when it took the bad turn, it left you guys looking for other stuff. Like you were saying about festivals, like there wasn't a Sound and Fury for a couple of years, so you guys did other
right,
things.
So that void kind of makes
yeah,
yeah.
yeah,
yeah.
That
yeah
was, I think
yeah.
that was when PBW. Sort of
yeah,
up.
In Pomona, PBW kind of started coming around too, and that was like a mainstay for I'd say like 2 years.
Yeah,
yeah, I really like that venue. I saw Fury there once,
and
cool.
that venue was super
it was
fun.
So good.
Shouts to Nate.
Oh, did he book there?
SOS booking.
I don't think I've told you this, Alex. You knocked a guy's teeth out at that show.
Oh shit!
Yeah, I never told you.
Was it during Fury?
Yeah, it's during us.
You can't be doing that to
I'm sorry,
knocking people's teeth out.
And you didn't even realize you did it, which is even worse.
That New York style.
God,
yeah,
knocking someone out
New
to
York.
A feeling, man. Come on, Alex.
Did you have all war on in your headphones? Like,
yeah. What were you listening to?
Yo, that's some legend shit. People moshing with headphones on. That's happened.
That's cool. That's cool stuff.
All right, so I mean, we talked about that. I think all this goes to my theory where it's like, all right, like, if people aren't around or things aren't being just handed to you, kind of things happen. Other stuff happens.
You just gotta make do with what you got.
So, everyone, that was your sampler plate. Thank you so much for joining us. That Patreon is patreon.com/ Axe to Grind podcast. Give what you can. If you give $6 or more, it entitles you to Sick as Fuck podcasts. These additional little bits of content that, as you can tell, is delivered by experts in the field with enthusiasm. So give what you can. Give high. You know what I mean? Give us $50 a month. That would be nice. But $6, if you can, it entitles you to some really nice extra shit. So thanks again from everybody at Axe to Grind. You are appreciated, even if you're one of these broke boys giving us nothing.